The gospel lesson comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit that we may hear with joy what you say to us this day. Amen. The Christmas story did not end with the birth of Jesus and the angel's declaration to the shepherds. Today, we remember the star in the east that guided the wise men to Bethlehem to pay tribute to the new king. We remember how God used the visit of the Magi to protect Jesus from the terrible tragedy about to be inflicted by King Herod. The wise men, as we call them, were on a journey of about 1,000 miles. They were on camels. They traveled in caravans for protection, and it would have been a long, slow trip. They saw God's star in the east. They followed that star to Bethlehem so that they could worship a newborn king. And by the time the wise men arrived, the heavenly host was gone. The shepherds had gone back to their fields. Mary and Joseph were no longer living in a stable. By the time the wise men got to Bethlehem, Jesus was a child and was living in a house with his parents. No one realized it at the time, but Herod would soon make a decree that all of the male children in and around Bethlehem be killed who were 2 years old and under. It makes sense that Jesus was about 12 to 16 months old when the wise men came. Jeremiah 31:15 prophesies this tragedy. God knew it was going to happen. I don't know why God allows bad things to happen to innocent people. However, I do think and believe that it is very appropriate when young children act out the Christmas story. I believe that when young children act out the Christmas story, I believe it honors these children who lost their lives on that first Christmas so long ago. Herod stopped looking for Jesus because those children died. You might say these children are the first Christian martyrs who gave their lives for Jesus. The Bible says that Mary and Joseph left Bethlehem with the child Jesus, and they went to Egypt immediately after the wise men paid their visit to the Holy Family. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. Our songs at Christmas and our traditions all indicate three kings because of the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Bible calls them magi, or wise men, and according to commentaries, they were not Jewish. They were not kings. Some commentaries call them priests with access to centers of power. Other commentaries call them wealthy astrologers, maybe from Persia or southern Arabia. Astrologers were the ones who studied the movement of the stars and their influence on the course of human events. These educated men definitely understood the significance of this unusual star appearing in the night sky, and they recognized this particular star as the signal of the birth of a new king. They were Gentiles, not Jews. They were Old Testament Bible scholars. They believed God's word, the Old Testament, to be true. And we should believe it to be true also. They probably had read Jeremiah 23:5, which gives the prophecy of a king. They might have read Numbers 24:17 and 18, which indicates a new star in the heavens. And they logically determined that the person whose birth was in Judea, which is where Jerusalem was located, must be the king of the Jews and the long prophesied Messiah. It's important for us to remember that stars cannot influence people or change their lives. Only God can. God influenced the lives of these wise men so that they would be the first non-Israelite people to greet and recognize Jesus. The Magi went to Jerusalem. That was the political and religious center for the Jewish people. When they went to see Herod the king and ask King Herod where the new king was, Herod obviously had no idea about the birth. Herod was surely very interested. Herod had killed others to protect his throne. He was not about to let an infant threaten him. When the Bible says, when King Herod heard of this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him, you can bet that was surely an understatement. According to history, Herod was known more for his ruthless killings than he was for the splendid buildings that he built in his own honor. It was said that it was better to be a dog in Herod's yard than a relative in his house, because he killed most of his relatives out of jealousy for his throne. In the days of Herod the king, when Herod wasn't happy, nobody was happy. The Magi came to see King Herod. King Herod was not Jewish. So Herod checked with his Jewish chief priests and teachers of the law to determine the prophecies about the child. The Jewish chief priests and teachers of the law remembered the prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2 that was written some 700 years before Jesus was born. And that prophecy talks about the coming of God's reign. Herod told the Magi that he was interested in the baby, and told the Magi to report back to him where the child was living. The star continued to lead the Magi to where Jesus lived. The Magi were overjoyed when they found Jesus, and they worshiped him, and they left their gifts for him. In their worship, the wise men acknowledged Jesus' divinity. They recognized Jesus as God Almighty, the same as we recognize him as God Almighty today. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6, we hear that gold and incense were typically associated with royalty and regarded as gifts fitting for a king. With their gifts, the Magi paid homage to the king. The gold represents the kingliness of Jesus. The frankincense identifies the priestly role of Jesus. And myrrh was a spice that was used in burial. The ancient rabbis associated myrrh with sacrificial death. Especially, if you remember in your Old Testament, the sacrifice of the story of Abraham going to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son Isaac. Mount Moriah is known as the Mountain of Myrrh. That gift of myrrh anticipated Jesus' death on the cross and God's sacrifice of his only son for the sins of the world. God protected Isaac from being sacrificed. God allowed his only son, Jesus, to be the sacrifice for our sins. Calvary was located on the ridge of Mount Moriah. It's interesting. Jesus was the only person ever born with the distinct purpose of dying. For Jesus, the purpose of the manger was the cross. And unless we see the shadow of the cross falling on the manger, we won't be able to see the manger clearly at all. Revelation 13:8 tells us that God's love for us was made most obvious in Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection. And that was God's plan from the very beginning. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That gift of myrrh was one of the first hints in Jesus' life that Jesus was born to die. We know that the Magi recognized Jesus as the Messiah and they worshiped him. We know that it was right after the Magi left that the angel of God told Joseph to take Mary and the child to Egypt right away. Notice that God did not send this small family to Egypt until he had provided for their journey and for their stay while they were there. The value of that gold and frankincense and myrrh would support that family comfortably in Egypt for several years until Herod died. Then they could finally return home again to Nazareth. They saw how God provided for them. God provides for us too, and for his church. God created a star to lead these Gentiles to find and worship Jesus. God used the gifts of the wise men to provide for Mary and Joseph and Jesus while they were in Egypt. God warned the wise men in a dream not to go back to Herod, and they obeyed God. They returned to their home country by another route. The Bible tells us that Jesus' birth in Bethlehem brings two responses. King Herod rejected Jesus. Herod was afraid that his power and his authority would be taken away from him by Jesus. Other people welcomed Jesus. Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, Anna and Simeon, even the outsiders, the Magi, welcomed God's plan and purpose and promise in their lives. We are left with the responsibility and necessity of a response. Some people will reject Jesus as quaint or old-fashioned or unpopular. Others will be threatened by the idea that God has plans for their lives, plans that might interfere with their own plans. Still others will welcome Jesus as the entrance of God's plan and purpose and promise in their own personal lives. God can get very personal with you. God sent his light to guide the wise men, and God waited for them. God sends his light to us and waits for each one of us to give a response. Each person has the opportunity to make his or her own individual response to God's presence, God's forgiveness, and God's only Son, Jesus. Some will respond with curiosity, which will lead to belief. Others will respond with immediate gratitude and acceptance. And there are others who will respond with rejection. God is present. God is here. Right now. God's presence demands a response from each of us. God's question to each one of us is, will you follow me or not? The wise men were slowed on their journey because they had to haul and care for and guard their precious gold and frankincense and myrrh that they were bringing to the new king. And when they placed their treasures at Jesus' feet, then the weight of guarding those treasures was lifted from their shoulders, and they went back a different way. When we lay our treasures at the feet of Jesus, we go back to our lives a different way. Life can begin again, anew, right here, right now, for each one of us. When we come before the King Jesus and give him our hearts and let him be in charge of how we use our most cherished valuables, we find that life changes. The burden of defending ourselves and hiding our sins is lifted. I've found that giving thanks to God can replace those attitudes and lifestyles that are displeasing to God. I found that jealousy and competing with others can be replaced by seeking to honor only God. I found that resentments and desires for vengeance can be overcome by trusting God's perfect, all-knowing justice. We can trust God to set things right. Hatred can melt away when we gaze prayerfully into the eyes of the one who suffered and died for all of us while we still cared nothing for him. Confusion can eventually be replaced by God's peace as we trust in Jesus, whose plans for each one of us are for good and not for evil. One who offers each one of us a bright and ever hopeful future. Fears and unhappy memories can begin to heal one by one as our eyes are opened to how very accepting and protective God is of you, because he loves you. He loves you as his very own, his rod and his staff. They will comfort you. I can imagine that right now, right here, Jesus speaking to our hearts, be of good courage, and I will strengthen you in your journey with the joy of my presence. When we know that we can trust God with our souls, then we can more easily be confident that we can also trust God to provide safety and protection and provision for us, no matter where we are or what the circumstances are on our journey. Right now, we're at the beginning of a new year. We need to hear the words of hope from God that will encourage us and help us to face the uncertainty of today that's all around us. God's word, the Bible, can become the solid ground on which we stand. God speaks words of hope that will help us to believe in tomorrow. God offers us forgiveness if we but humbly ask. If we confess our sins, God will forgive us our sins, and we won't have to feel guilty or defensive anymore. With God's help, we can overcome our sins each day and be overcomers. That's the eternal message that God has given to all people. It's still the message that we have to pass on to others. Today's a new day. We're at the beginning of a new week. We're at the beginning of a new year. We're at the beginning of a new chapter in ministry together. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the King James Version says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Today's a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new, and He can make you into a new creature too. Allow the person and the presence of our Lord Jesus to be a new reality in your heart and in your life. And let us all learn together to know the confidence of God's presence as we trust God to lead us in our faith and in our maturity as Christ followers and His fellow Christians serving God together in this place. We are His church, and God will lead us one step at a time. Today, God used something to get your attention, to make you curious about Him, and you are being drawn to Him. If this is your day to invite Jesus into your heart, either for the first time or for a recommitment, you can do so right now. If you have enough faith to pray and invite Jesus into your heart to help you to repent and turn from your sins and stop sinning against God, you have enough faith. Just ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life today. You can ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life every day. The Lord Jesus is only a prayer away. Don't make Him wait any longer for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come and we worship You and we bring You the gift of ourselves. Please enter into our hearts and lives and make us new. Enable us by Your Holy Spirit to lay our burdens and our treasures at Your feet and to receive the peace in our hearts that only You can give. Amen.